glad to be here.
Amen.
It's been a good while since we were here. Been a ton of things going on, some good and some not so lucky. But we're blessed.
Yes.
It's an absolutely amazing to watch Rachel lead worship. I met Rachel and Scott and Terry and Jim and Jonesy in 2001. I was pastoring a church in Pearland, and we were meeting on Saturday night. And one Saturday night, these four strange people walked in, or five strange people walked in. Different people, I should say, not strange. Anyway, the Lord knitted our hearts together.
Yes.
Scott and Terry ended up doing our praise and worship until we actually closed our church in December 31st of 2005, and we departed for Kenya. Then they were in the process of starting a church and so forth. And so this has been a long-standing relationship, and we're grateful that
Amen.
Of all the people in the world Scott could have asked to come today, he asked me
Amen.
And us. Well, this is my bride, my helpmate, the
Amen.
One who is the helper and the lifter of my arms, as you can see. I want her to greet you and just say whatever is on her heart and mind, and then I'll take it from there.
Well, it is good to be here, and the only thing that can make it better is if Scott and Terry were here too. We get to see them. We're down here in this area primarily to complete a two-year Bible school that we've had. And that finishes up with graduation on the 17th of November.
Awesome. Ooh.
And when that takes place, we've been staying with Louis' brother-in-law and sister, and she just is recouping from hip surgery. So we've been busy.
Yes.
We've been busy during this time, but when we complete that on the 19th of November, our plans are to go back up to Hearst, where our son and his family live. And we were there after we left here in May, and we were up there for about 3 months, and then we came down to complete the school. But in his home, there were three generations in his home, and when we came to join them, that made four generations.
Wow.
Under one roof.
From wow. 2 to 75.
Wow.
From
awesome.
2 to 75. Yes, that was the it. But I want to tell you, to this great grandmother, it was a delight to be
yes.
with our great grand. We missed being with our grandchildren so much because we were away in Kenya. So God does redeem things.
Yes,
and I'm telling you, it was so funny because they welcomed us into their home. And within the first 2 weeks, we had opportunity to different ones of them. First, our granddaughter opened up her heart and she said, "Well, Papa and Riri, I just have to tell you, I had some angst about having all of these people in the house. I just didn't know how this was going to work. Just didn't know how it was going to work. We have not known so much peace
as we have had
since y'all been here."
Glory
then
God.
Chad and Joanna, they say, "Well, you know, our little man, Waylon, he thinks it's wonderful to have Papa and Riri at his disposal." So he didn't have any angst. And I had to share with them that I had none.
Hallelujah.
It was not what my plan perhaps would have been. But God spoke to my heart. How many of you know if you have a word
yes.
from God,
yes.
you can do things that you didn't
Amen.
Think in the natural
Amen.
Would be yes. something. But this is the word that the Lord gave me. He said, "You and Louis have been all over the world ministering to people, and it's time to go and minister to your family."
Oh, awesome.
And I want to tell you, our family needed ministering to. God knew, and we suspected, but God knew. And I'm telling you, it has been awesome.
Beautiful.
Without preaching, without pushing.
That's it. Yeah.
Without dropping suggestions. They're in church.
Glory to God.
And they make certain that the time is special, that they, that, you know, that is a set aside time. And so God knows. So I just say, just trust Him.
Yes.
You can trust Him when you're 7. You can trust Him when you're 2. You
Amen.
Can trust Him when you're 75.
Amen.
So
Hallelujah.
That's my testimony today, and I'm going to stick with it.
Yes. Amen.
Well, we've been back from Kenya just a little over 3 years, and about a year to the day that we got back, I got sick, and I have struggled with this mess ever since. But I've refused to allow the devil to steal from me what I'd rather do than anything else in the world, and that's to preach.
Amen.
We've had this school of ministry that's gone for 2 years. I missed one class that had nothing to do with this. I had a terrible bad cold. And I stayed home to keep from sharing it with the students. But the opportunities I've had to preach, I have accepted every one of them. Sometimes I have had to help to get to the pulpit, but as I begin preaching, the anointing comes on me, everything in me strengthens and changes my voice and the whole bit. And so I just accept and say, God, this is your problem.
Yes.
And as I was sitting there, it was like the Spirit of God said, I just put my hand on your head.
Amen.
You feel my presence and my anointing.
Yes.
Whew.
Yes. Amen.
Glory to God.
So anyway, Jim, I just now have spotted you back there. One of my favorite people in the world.
Yes.
Me and Jonesy and Rita and I celebrated a lot of our anniversaries together. There's just a day or two besides ours. Hadn't been back to Kelly since. I mean, to Paris.
Yeah. So,
again, I'm so glad to see you. I want to share a word with you this morning. Some of you may have heard this. If you have, we'll just doze off or whatever. Sure.
Okay. Before we got here this morning, I said, if you acknowledge me, I'm going to raise my hand and say something.
I want to hug you, man.
All right. Thank you for being here. Anyway, in 2001, I think it was June or July, the end of June, I believe, on a Saturday night, we show up at church. Louis he wanted to start a series, but like the previous week or a couple of weeks before that, but there we had some stormy weather and he didn't get it started. I think it was kept from starting until that night. Anyway, Louis preached a message on your position of righteousness. And I didn't know it, but I was starved for that message. After hearing that, when we were at church, I mean, I was just sitting there, didn't know what was going to happen the first night there. But within about 5 minutes, I was leading the amen pack.
Amen.
But that message caused me overnight to fall in love with God. Desperately in love with God is what I want to say. I'd always loved Him for 30, 40 years, but it caused me to fall desperately in love with God, and that caused me to fall desperately in love with my wife. It changed me in my life so much that we were out a year later, driving down the Gulf Freeway. We're out on a date Saturday night, and she said, I want to tell you something. I said, what's that? She said, I thought you were up to something all this time because you had changed so much. And I said, baby, and I said, well, was it good? She says, yeah, it was good. And I said, well, it had to be God because I couldn't do it. But that message from Louis that he started that night, that series, changed my life in a way that nothing ever has before or since.
Just
thank you for it.
Let me tell you, that's back in the days when we did the audio cassette recordings. This is not evangelistically speaking. I would make racks of copies of that tape for Jim. 25 of them on a rack. And we did that for years. There's probably 3 or 400 of those things he gave out. Anybody that would be still and listen, he'd give them a tape.
Amen.
And so, I mean, it's that one word from God is all it takes.
Yes.
To totally transform you.
Amen.
And anyway, God just so knitted our hearts with those guys and all of this. I'm so glad to see you, man.
Amen.
Jim makes me feel younger.
Yes.
I want to share this word this morning. It's the title of it is The Language of the Kingdom. How many of you know that every kingdom has a language? And there are some things that we need to understand about the language that we're speaking. We lived in Kenya for 10 years, and Kenya, the national language, the official language in Kenya is English. The national language is Swahili. You've got 42 tribes and sub-tribes, and each of them have their own language. So these people, I mean, little old bitty kids can speak 3 or 4 different languages. It's just the way it is. And I'm 75, I'm still struggling trying to speak English. They used to laugh at me over there, but they said, that I didn't speak English. They had the hardest time trying to interpret for me because they couldn't understand my English. So I said, my heavens, the north part of the United States, the Yankees have a different sound, the Southerners have a different sound. I said, but I speak Texan. And Texans really speak the pure King's English.
Yes.
That's his story.
Yeah.
I've had interpreters, I'd stand up and say about 3 words, and the interpreters just go sit down.
This is not going. They have left the stage crying.
I don't know what's wrong. But anyway, language is important. And it's important that we understand the language. We know how to speak it. We know how to hear it. We know how to walk it and what we're hearing. There's so much emphasis today on the kingdom of God. And it's been interesting over the last number of years. We used to never hear the words kingdom of God hardly used at all. Nobody was preaching on the kingdom of God. Nobody was preaching on the kingdom, how to live in the kingdom culture. It was that just most of the where we came from, it was almost entirely just salvation, but no instruction as to what to do after you got into the kingdom. And so the Lord shared this word with me a number of years ago. I've preached it many times in many places. But I want to just share it with you this morning. I want you to begin by turning to Isaiah chapter 59. We're going to look at 2 verses there, and we're not going to have a lot of scripture, but there are some interesting things, and I believe it's an appropriate word for the day we're living in. Isaiah chapter 59, just the last part of verse 19. You'll recognize this when you see it. When the enemy comes in like a flood. Remember that? When the enemy comes in like a flood. How many of you know that the enemy will come in like a flood if given an opportunity? Well, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against it. Well, I'm telling you what, the day we're living, when there are so many words, ugly words, deceitful words, lying words being spoken, we need to understand that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard and declares, it is written.
Amen?
Amen?
Now I want us to turn over to, just hold your place there to Isaiah 59, and turn over to Revelation chapter 12. There's 2 or 3 verses there because we need to determine what is the flood, where it comes from, and what's its purpose. Revelation chapter 12, verse 13. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time and times and a half time, from the presence of the serpent. Notice the serpent. You've seen dragon and serpent. Now look at verse 13. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a what? Like a flood.
Yeah.
After the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. Now, What is the flood? When he spews out this flood, what is he spewing out? Water is synonymous with words. So he is spewing out words at us. What was it he did to Jesus when Jesus was in the wilderness? I mean, he came to him and he came with all of these promises and all of these words and all of these enticements and all of this other stuff. And Jesus did not take the bait. He literally counteracted every bit of that with, it is written. That's the only way we're going to be able to live with any sanity in the world that we live in today. Because if we take in, if we receive everything that is coming at us, I'm telling you, we'll live a short life and it'll be miserable. But when we understand that when the enemy comes in like a flood, we have an antidote to that thing. And it works, it has worked from the beginning. It's the revelation from the Word of God. When the enemy comes in spewing his flood of words at us, accusing us, condemning us, blaming us, trying to bring fear into us and speculation and all the rest of it, we stop where we are and say, Satan, talk to the hand.
That's it.
It is written.
That's it. Yeah.
And then we go on from there. It's just amazing the kinds of things that we're hearing. I'm just about at a place. I'm just having to take a fast from the news. I'm telling you, if you are just ingesting the news, I'm telling you, you'll be nuts in a little while. If they say that no news is good news, I'm telling you, there ain't no good news then, because there ain't nothing good being said on the thing, and it's over and over and over and over again. And I'm telling you, there is something that is destroying the fabric of our country. And I'm going to share a little more about this in a little bit. But it's time for the people of God, the church of God, to raise a standard.
Amen.
That says enough is enough.
Amen.
Is enough.
Amen.
We refuse to be a party to the destruction of the fabric of our country and even our church when everything we hold near and dear is being attacked.
Amen.
Obviously, it's not us personally they're attacking. But it's those values, it's those mores, it's our faith, it's our love for God, it's our love for country. And we just have to simply draw a line in the sand and say, I refuse to be a party to that. I can love you, but we'll not talk about politics. My son and I have been on the opposite sides of the political spectrum for a long time. He was halfway sane until he went to work for a law firm years ago. And then he came out of that thing after 12 years. He's as crazy as could be. I mean, so liberal and whatever. So anyway, we just couldn't have a civil conversation. And so I just said, here's the deal. I love you. I want to have a conversation with you. I want us to be able to communicate. But there's two things that we're not going to be discussing. We're not going to discuss religion, and we're not going to discuss politics. I'll talk about the weather, I'll talk about ball scores, I'll talk about whatever it is, but those two subjects are off the table. And it has worked wonderfully. But because of a change that has taken place in him, we now are in a position we can carry on some deep conversations.
Amen.
About the love of God.
Yes.
But rather than trying to force something down his throat, we loved him 20 some odd years ago. He just went off the rail and told us he just didn't have any need for us whatsoever. And we purposed in our heart we would love him unconditionally.
Amen.
We were going to love him unconditionally because the day was going to come when all of his goofy friends were going to leave him, and he was going to need mom and daddy to come back to hold his head.
Amen.
We did that. And he and I are the best friends.
Glory
we have
God.
More fun. He'll call me. We talk on the phone nearly every day. And anyway, sometimes he'll call and say, hey, Dad, I just wanted to hear your voice.
Amen.
Oh, man, that's a change. But it's a wonderful change.
Yes.
We have seen the power of God, the power of our words, change him. When that enemy came in like a flood, we didn't take the bait as it related to him.
Mm-hmm.
But we have stood in belief and just declared. Let's just go back to Isaiah 59. Let me show you something that really validates what I'm saying to you. Isaiah 59, verse 21. I want you to see this. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them, or this is his covenant with us. He's talking about the children of Israel, but all of us, we're the church, so he, under the new covenant, is for us as well. This is my covenant with them, my spirit who is upon you. And now we can say, my spirit which is also within me. Not only is a spirit upon us, but it's with, he's within us. We got a double dose here. And my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time forevermore. The Spirit of life, we have a covenant promise from a covenant-keeping God who is incapable of violating his covenant. He says, here is my covenant with you. I have put my words in your mouth. When we speak, we are speaking as God is speaking himself. Oh, what the psalmist said, your mouth is the pen of a ready writer. When we speak, we are speaking life. We are speaking the revelation of God. We're speaking the word of God. So he says, this is my covenant with that not only will the word not depart out of your mouth, but the mouth of our descendants. Our descendants, descendants, descendants. And here's what we see. Reed and I have prayed this prayer over our kids for many, many years. And we have seen it come to pass. We have seen our kids. We have seen our son who hated God, who had gotten so disappointed through some preachers who went off the rail when he was a young man. And he had, I have nothing to do with it. I don't believe it. I don't want it. I'll not have it. But I'm telling you, through our standing and confessing that the word of God would not depart from our mouth or the mouth of our descendants' descendants. God did something through a strange reading program that's just changed everything. My son is an avid reader. He's disabled. He's got, bipolar. And so anyway, but he's an avid reader, always has been. He got into this reading program. And it was called the 100 books that every person should read before they die.
Wow.
Well, anyway, he lives two blocks from the library in Hearst. So he goes down to the library and he starts checking the books out. Well, when just prior to our getting there, the book that he was reading was the Bible in the King James Version. And I'm telling you what, I'd have to hear from God to read the whole Bible in the King James Version with all the other translations that are out there. But anyway, when we got there, he was in like 1st, 2nd Kings, somewhere along in there. And anyway, he would sit and read 8 hours a day. And we saw the power of the Word soften him and change him before our very eyes without our saying a word. Occasionally, he would ask me a question. I didn't try to explain anything. If he asked me something, I just answered the best I could. Well, after we had been there for a few weeks and so forth, and he was finishing up the Old Testament, I said to him one day, I said, hey, I've got a new translation I'd like for you to check out. And it's called the Passion Translation. Y'all familiar with the Passion? Anyway, I said, I've got one. I want you to just check it out and see what you think. So I gave it to him. That evening, he spent some time with him. Next morning, he said, hey, Dad, man, I like that. He said, I particularly like all of the commentary in it. Man, he had read all the I's and dots and the ands and the whole bit. So when he said that, it was on Friday before Father's Day. So I said, turned to Rena, I said, baby, get on Amazon and get him one of these. So she called Amazon, or got online, and lo and behold, the thing was there the next day. Well, and just prior to this, we had been going to Gateway Church up there. We went to the big Gateway, the Mother Gateway, one Sunday. But it's a good ways from where we, or one Saturday, one good way from where we live. We were just out riding around one day, and we stumbled onto one of their satellite churches 4 miles from where we live. So we started going on a Sunday morning. And so I said to Chad one Saturday, I said, hey, Chad, Red and I are going to Gateway in the morning, and Joanna want to go. He said, well, let me check with her. She's taking a nap. She gets up, I'll check. So a little bit he'd come in and say, hey, yeah, we want to go. What time are we leaving? Well, anyway, they started going to church with us, and then, I mean, they began making plans to go. We didn't have to get up or say to them the next week, are you going to go? They would say, hey, Dad, you and Mom going to church tomorrow. So we have seen this transformation. A few weeks ago, and something interesting, in the middle of all of this thing, right after we got there, Chad was diagnosed with aortic heart valve issues. So he's just gone through 3 weeks ago, open heart surgery, where they had to do, remove one old heart valve and whatever. In the midst of this thing, that boy walked in such peace. A lot of us were absolutely in such peace.
Amen.
Because there was such an understanding, such a comfort of the goodness and the presence of God. I mean, they've been through some stuff. That on Thursday after he had been diagnosed with his heart issue, his wife lost her job. And here we are, the old folks up there, you know, another mouth to feed. But anyway, we just seen this thing. So anyway, the other day, he said to me, we made a statement. Oh, I know when it was. They had been watching Robert Morris on television. And so he said to me, he was looking for it the other day, and I said, well, there's Gateway right there. He said, is that our church? Many of you could have knocked me over with a feather. Those words had not crossed his lips in a very long time. But I'm telling you, but then it goes back to this. Rita and I did not speak what we saw with our eyes.
Amen.
We wanted to wring his neck a lot of times. He embarrassed the far out of us on a lot of occasions. But we purposed in our heart we were going to love him because we had a word from God and we stayed with that word. God says, this is my covenant with you. I have put my word in your mouth. And this word will not depart out of your mouth, nor the mouth of your descendants or your descendants' descendants. Listen, if you've got kids or grandkids that are off the rail, I'm telling you, you get a hold of this passage of Scripture and you make this is my word. Rita and I did. I'm telling you, this is the answer, the only way that we can explain what's taking place with our kids. His word is within us.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, we carry something. When we went to that house, there was no order, there was no peace. But when we walked in, peace walked in.
Amen.
And we didn't have to announce Shalom has shown up. I'm telling you, it's been the most interesting thing. We didn't say anything. We didn't make a big deal of it. We didn't preach to them. We just brought what we carry,
yes,
which is the peace of God,
yes,
and the goodness of God.
Yes, amen.
They weren't even saying grace over the meals when we got there. Well, when we're there, obviously they know we're going to pray, so I just kind of became the priest of the house by default. But anyway, I'd pray, and then the next time Rita would pray, and then I'd ask our daughter-in-law or granddaughter, whatever. But we've got a 2-year-old great-grandson. And so we would hold hands, and Waylon's sitting in his high chair over here. And it got to the place where nobody could eat until we had prayed. Pray! Pray!
Amen.
And so he'd hold his hands out. That's one time his dad and Chad were the only two there, but they were going to eat. He wouldn't let them eat until they had prayed. Pray!
Amen.
And so when we get through, we'd say, amen. He'd say, amen. And so, being the charismatic that I am one day, I said, hey, wait. Amen. Hallelujah. Now it's amen and hallelujah. Sometimes he just goes straight to the hallelujah. But it's been the most interesting thing to watch this thing happen. We have heard our son pray as if, Rita and I, we shared communion with him the day that we left to come down for this school. And we just gathered around the table and we took up the elements. And I asked Chad if he wanted to pray. He said, yeah, I need to. The prayer he prayed was like reading out of sitting and listening to a private conversation between he and God. It was the most heartfelt, the most faith-filled prayer I think I've ever heard. I'm telling you, I have put my word in your mouth.
Amen.
And it will not depart.
That's it.
We have stood guard over that word. We've watched ourselves, and we've spoken not what we see, but we've called those things that are not as though they are. Now turn over to Ephesians chapter 4.
Amen.
And we'll tie this together. I love Ephesians. I read it probably more than any book in the Bible. I love it. Look at verse 29, chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed from your mouth. You see that? Let no corrupt word. Well, what is the word corrupt there? It's not a good word at all. The word corrupt there is a word that literally means something that has death on it, that has stench on it. Some commentators say that the actual meaning of that word is so deep that it's, that it's like a piece of old raw meat that is maggot infested. I mean, that's what he said. He said, it is so detestable, so disgusting, so awful. So he said, don't let those kinds of words, the power of life and death is in our mouth. And he said, don't you let those corrupt words proceed from your mouth. Don't let them cross your lips. Lewis Unabridged translation. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. I love that verse. I love that verse.
Amen.
Don't let any corrupt word, don't let any word that carries within it the power of death, the stench of death, the stench of unbelief. But my word which I put in your mouth, you hang on, you lay hold of that word, that it may that it may impart grace to the hearers. The language of the kingdom is the language of grace. I love the message on grace. I love the revelation of grace. And here's what we've come to know. The word grace, it obviously means, and we all know that it means unmerited favor. But can I tell you, that's not all there is to the word grace. God sees us in a very favorable light based on what Jesus did for us on the cross. Without having anything to do with our merit or our deserving, he extends favor to us. He loves us. He sees us in a favorable light. But it doesn't just leave grace at that. Grace is also an empowering presence of God.
That's it.
And what this does, the empowering presence of God, enables us. Well, what does it enable us to do? It enables us to do what we are perfectly incapable of doing apart from the grace of God.
Amen.
See, and Rita and I have laid such hold of this concept. We understand that it's the grace of God, it's the anointing of the Spirit, it's the goodness of God that removes burdens and destroys yokes. We have spoken the grace of God, and our son has come to a place of trusting God, something he was perfectly incapable of doing, but by the grace and the unmerited favor of God, he now sees God is a good God.
Amen.
Man, I'm telling you, this thing just comes alive with us. So it's the goodness of God, it's the grace of God. Some of the things that we've learned about the grace of God, we don't dare call those things that are as though they are. We don't come into agreement with the devil on his stuff.
Amen.
If you've got an issue in your life, speak grace to it.
Amen.
Speak the unmerited favor of God. Speak that empowering presence of God. You want to see the grace of God? I can stand up here now that I couldn't do 45 minutes ago. It's the grace of God has come on me. His anointing has come on me, and his word is in my mouth. I could hardly speak this morning. But I'm telling you, God is on the case.
That's it.
We don't allow those things, that the physical and all the rest of it, to determine what we do, but we step into that calling and that anointing and have the grace of God released in us.
Amen.
Here's a story to demonstrate that. Some dear friends of ours that we met in 1982, they had just immigrated from South Africa. And anyway, they got over here from the United States to South Africa. So his man, his wife, and two young kids, like 7 and 9, I think, or 7 and 5. But anyway, they had two suitcases and $2,400. They had been sponsored by a Baptist evangelist, and when he found out they spoke in tongues, he dropped them like a hot potato. So they were just kind of left out there. But they had a word from God. The wife kind of struggled, but John said, listen, God gave me a word, and if we go down, it's going to be God's fault. But I'm not caving in. We are here on a mission to the United States. Anyway, we watched these kids grow up. Both of them just excelled in everything they did. It, you know, made some of us just so jealous of their kids. I mean, they graduated from junior high school. They're top of their class. Went to high school, top of the class. Both of these kids got full academic scholarships to ORU. Full scholarships to ORU. How did it happen that God had given a word to John? I'll pay for your kids' education.
Amen.
Anyway, everybody used to just kind of sit around and wonder, what is there that they know that we don't know? Well, their kids, do they just have more snap than ours? What's the deal here? And so one time, many years after that, not all that many years ago, their mother was teaching in a women's conference. And she said, let me just clarify something. A lot of you have asked me over the years, are they just smarter than everybody else's kids? Or what's the deal that they just excel in so much? They're wonderful musicians. I mean, you just name it. They just could do it. She says, it doesn't have anything to do with that. Let me tell you what it did have to do. She said, I got a revelation of grace when those kids were very, very young. And she says, every day of their lives, up to this day, I speak grace over them.
Amen.
She says it had nothing to do with any extra ability. She said it's the empowering presence of God.
Amen.
When they would walk out and get ready to leave to go to school in the morning, she'd meet them at the door, put her hand over their head. Grace to you, Matt. Grace to you, Tracy. They go off to ORU every day. Grace to you, Matt. Grace to you, Tracy. I'm telling you, if you've got kids or grandkids that are struggling, I just gave you the key to their success. It's not more of the, well, I won't even go there. I'll hurt somebody's feelings. But it has to do with the releasing of a supernatural enablement to do what God created those kids to do. He's the way maker.
Yes,
he's the one who makes the crooked straight.
Yes.
He's the one who goes the extra mile and allows those kids to succeed when every teacher in the world thinks these people, if we can just get them out of here.
That's it.
But I'm telling you, his purpose is not just to exist. His purpose is to make us be what he created us to be.
Amen.
And then he provides us with the ability to fulfill what he's called us to be and called us to do. I love this message. Don't let any word, corrupt word, proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Do you realize your voice carries within it the grace to release the power of God in someone's life and circumstances?
Amen.
Well, we run into, we just say grace to them.
Amen.
I mean, just say grace. Everybody needs some grace.
That's it.
Everybody's got something that they're struggling with. Everybody's got a need for a touch from God, for a release of the power of God.
That's it.
We pray for a lot of people out and about, and we just say grace to you. Blessings upon you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I've never had anybody yet to get offended because I bless them.
Amen.
They may not receive it, but, you know, my job's not for them to receive it. My job is to release the blessing, release the grace, release the anointing, release the goodness of God, the love of God. If you're in a process of, you've got a project of some kind going, I can show you in the Word of God how grace works against all odds. Would you like to see that before I finish? Turn to Zechariah chapter 4. Go to Matthew and hang a left. And there's two books over. Malachi, Zechariah. You'll recognize this when you see it. I've got some illustrations of some practical things. That's what I'm trying to show you. This isn't just churchy talk. This stuff works, and I've got testimonies to prove it. Okay, we proved it with our son on that other one. Zechariah chapter 4. You remember the story there. Nehemiah's gone back to Jerusalem to start the rebuilding of the wall. And then God commissions Zerubbabel to rebuild the temple. Well, can you can imagine the kind of mess, the kind of rubble. I thought about this morning. To give us a bit of a word picture of what this all looks like. After a hurricane or a tornado or something, when something has been so totally torn down and destroyed, there's nothing but rubble. And there is no rebuilding can take place until the rubble has been removed, right? Yeah. I mean, that's job one. You've got to clean the place, clear it out, before you can rebuild. So this is the situation that Zerubbabel found himself in. He shows up to Jerusalem at the temple site, and there's just mountains of all of this rubble.
Amen.
That has been left there for all of these many years. And so God speaks to him. You know, I think... First of all, I think Zerubbabel looked at this and said, "Thanks, God, you give me a job ain't no man on earth can do." And God didn't say it, "Now I want you to go hire 1,000 teams of horses and wagons and men and all the rest of it and roll your sleeves up and work like a dog." He didn't say, what did he say to it? So he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." Do you think those Zerubbabel scratched his head? God, have you seen this? Have you taken notice of this? If it's not by might, and it's not by power, if it's not by horses, it's not by slaves, if it's not by the sweat of my brow, how on earth am I to do that? God said, none of those, but by my spirit. I'm telling you, we think we've got some problems. But put yourself in Zerubbabel's shoes, looking at this thing. And that's the instructions that God gives him. But then God goes on and look what he says in verse 7. "Who are you, God, speaking to the mountain? Who are you, O great mountain?" Do you think your mountain, this is not in the Bible, this is me. Do you think your mountain is intimidating to God?
No.
Do you think your problem is bigger than God? Do you think that what you're facing is beyond God's ability to deliver you from or through? "Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. And he shall bring forth a capstone with shouts." What's he going to be shouting?
Grace.
Grace. Grace to it. There's the answer to your problem right there. There's the answer to the rubble. Physical, spiritual, financial, whatever. Relationships. It's not going to be done by might nor by power. I'm telling you, the conventional stuff is out the window in this day. This is not about might and power. It's about speaking to you. What Jesus had this verse in mind when he said, "Whosoever says."
Yes, that's it.
Whosoever says. Well, Jesus didn't say it there, but he could have easily said, "And here's what you say, grace to it."
Amen. Hallelujah.
You shout grace. Some of these things are hard hearing. You have to shout to them.
Amen.
You got to get their attention. Grace to you. Grace to you. Grace to you.
Amen.
I shared this word in Kenya a number of times. One of the young pastors that we've worked with from the very beginning of it was doing a whole remodel thing on his church, and had the roof torn completely off of that thing on a Sunday morning. And all of a sudden, it comes one of those fast Kenyan rains. And he said, "Here's what we do. Everybody stand up. And everybody look up. And everybody shout, grace to you in Jesus'
Amen.
Name.
Glory to God."
I said, they understood this. I want to read you a testimony from one of my spiritual sons. I got this back in May that will encourage you. This little guy's name is Protus. He was our Bible school coordinator over there. A little short guy, but man, just full of the Word and full of the Holy Ghost. So he begins this. He said, "I'm not so sure whether I told you our church earmarked for demolition by the Kenyan National Highway Authority last year in June. The Kenyan National Highways are building an international highway from Nairobi to Sudan. And our town was right on that thing. And so when they build buildings, churches, houses, whatever, they can't get any measures, but they don't know where the boundary lines are. So they just build the things. And then years later, the government comes through and tears them all down. So this is what happened with him. I'm not so sure that I told you that our church was earmarked for demolition by the Kenya Highway Authority last year in June. We've gone through a very, very difficult moment, but we saw the power of grace in action.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The church you knew, a half of it was built on the road reserve. It was extremely painful to see the ugly picture of our church being brought down. We were able to salvage the material that we are now using to do the extension. I had no courage to tell you this because I didn't know how to put in words. As you can see, we are now believing God to fill the gaps of the windows with the glasses. We covet your prayers and shouts of grace." So anyway, he's got a picture here of their new building, and some of the windows are... He said, "We had to move back 30 meters, about 90 feet from the fence. They were to demolish it, but we asked them to allow us to do it, knowing that we will salvage the material, even if it's half of it. It is not possible to bring down half of it without affecting the pillars. As you can see behind me, the parking is what used to be the floor of my church. My testimony is when we started putting glasses on, some members reminded me of the message of grace and its definition. They were in agreement with what they were in agreement that what they are seeing is a manifestation of grace, which is the person of Christ. And I'm grateful to you who taught me about grace. What I can be sure of is that we have done it without any support from the politicians, but by the shouts of grace. I have rallied members almost every Sunday to shout grace, and it works."
Amen.
This is a little later. He said, "It is God, Papa. Today is exceptional for God to wake me up at 2 a.m. for prayers, then think of talking to you about what God has done to us for less than a year. We actually started the demolition and construction in mid-August 2018. I told the church we're not going to take longer to build a new structure because there's a grace of giving. That's how it began. We are living in the season of grace. The empowering presence of God that enables me to be what God called me to be and to do what He has called me to be, to do, no matter what says I can." He says, "You taught me that the book of Galatians is a manifesto of grace, and grace is the language of the kingdom. God bless you big and use you powerfully. I will pray that you and I will pray for you and can't wait to hear what God is up to on this Sunday. I'll preach this message at another church." He says, "Again and again, we were left speechless. I was believing God for provision to fix the remaining windows. As usual, I thought, I will give church members a few weeks of rest. Then I will ask them money to complete the work. But I didn't have the witness in my spirit to do that. Instead of asking for money on that Sunday, I declared to the congregation, 'Look here, I believe by Sunday the windows will be fixed by the grace of God through faith.' The development chairman doubted by saying, 'I don't think it'll be possible. You're supposed to ask for money.' I told him, 'Even if I did what you are suggesting, we would not have got even an eighth of what we needed because I was restrained by the Spirit of God.'
Hallelujah.
Monday afternoon, I received a call asking how much I needed to fix the remaining windows. A friend who is not a member of our church was compelled by God to do something when he heard of what had happened. The contractor who was given the task, when I asked him how much he should be paid, he said, 'He will not ask for any penny until he finishes the work.' After work, he said that that was his offering to the church because he got a bigger contract after completing the work.
Glory to God.
My bishop came back from UK last week. He was so happy to see the windows complete and well fixed. Let the men of God make the shouts of grace and declarations of faith over their circumstances when they sense that the church has grown weary because the economy is hurting and the resources to finish the task are limited. It is possible sometimes to pray amiss, but you cannot shout grace amiss.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.
This is real live stuff. This is the real deal. Somebody that took the word and understands the word of grace, the power of grace, the goodness of God. If I just want to ask you this one. Well, let's just do it. Y'all just stand.
Amen.
I want you to just stand. Probably most of us in here, if not all of us, to one degree or another are dealing with something. Is that probably a valid statement? I mean, there's just stuff that goes on. Just being a part of this old fallen world, there are challenges and there's things that are going on. Rather than going and doing, trying to make things happen, trying to cobble some stuff together, let me suggest to you, allow the grace of God do the work for you.
Amen.
Allow the grace of God. Kenya is a very poor country. They built a very nice building over there. It's paid for. Typically, the churches go to the politicians and do get indebted to them over a lot of things. But he says, no, I've got a word from God.
Amen.
It's by the shouting of grace.
Hallelujah.
Grace.
Amen.
To it. Had he listened to his board chairman, or his development chair, they probably still wouldn't have their windows. But God, as they released their faith through the shouting of grace, God moved on that man.
Amen.
And then he moved on the contractor.
Hallelujah.
He let God do the work.
Glory to God. Amen.
How did he do it? He didn't have to go, like an old brother. No. As a congregation. They stood and they said, grace to you.
Amen.
Would y'all do that with me this morning?
Hallelujah, yes.
If you've got something that's going on in your life, God knows what it is. Grace will find it.
Amen.
I want you to just lift your hands and let's just make a shout.
Grace to you.
Grace to you.
Grace to you.
Grace to you. I refuse to be intimidated. I refuse it in Jesus' name. Grace to you, not by power nor by mind, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Grace, grace, grace to you.
Grace to you. Thank you, Jesus.
And we count it as done.
Amen.
In the mighty name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say it loud. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
And Texas would say, glory adios.
Hallelujah.
Glory
adios.
And Kenya would say, why don't you?
Yes. Amen.
But it's the goodness of God. It's the grace of God. That's the language of the kingdom.
Amen.
Rather than complaining and moaning and groaning and whatever, we just come.
Amen.
Grace.
That's it. Amen.
I see God told Zerubbabel to do this under the old covenant. How much more will he do with it for us under the new covenant?
Amen.
This is my covenant promise to you. But my word will not depart out of your mouth, or the mouth of your descendants, or your mouth, your descendants.
Amen.
We have seen this. It brings such total transformation, and it keeps people from getting mad at each other.
Yes.
Don't
yes.
tell me what to do. I like my misery. But rather, I speak grace to you.
Amen.
Who does I speak grace to?
You.
I speak grace to you.
Yes.
I speak grace. I speak grace.
Yes,
I release that empowering presence
thank
of God.
You, Jesus.
And everything that that's needed
thank
for
you,
the fulfillment of your destiny, your call, your place in life, I declare it's yours. Just turn to your neighbor and say, I just release grace to you.
I release grace to you.
Then I want you to just give them a hug. Seal the grace with a hug.
Grace to you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you're here this morning and you need someone to pray for you, we have a ministry team here. They are ready to release grace. They are here ready to agree with you. They are here ready to stand in agreement with you. And where two or three agree on earth is touching, you can ask anything. Anything. What's anything? Anything.
Amen. That's it.
What's the word any meaning? Greek? Any?
Amen.
So if you're in need of prayer, want prayer, just want to be blessed, we just invite you to come on. The ministry team, just come on up here. Scott said you'd be ready.
Yep.
I'm holding them to his word.
We are.
Scott, you're coming.
Amen. Amen. We're ready. Yes, we are. Yes.
All right. Let me just pray over you, and then we just invite you to come, and the others of you are dismissed.
Amen. Thank you.
Father, in Jesus' name,
thank you.
I thank you so much for the privilege to be in this house this morning. I thank you for believers' fellowship. And I thank you it is a wonderful fellowship of believers. And I thank you, Father, for the grace of God that knits and binds them and holds them together.
Yes.
I thank you for the power of your Spirit that operates in this house. I thank you, Father, for the revelation that Scott and Terry carry and the anointing that they carry. They're raising up a strong, Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost fellowship of believers that are impacting their world. I thank you, Father, that Alvin is the Lord.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank
we
you,
bless
Lord.
Them. We thank you, Father.
Thank you,
and give you praise.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. In
Amen.
Jesus' name.
Thank
so y'all just come. Allow these Holy Ghost people to pray for you, agree with you,
Amen.
Speak grace over you,
thank
and just
Lord.
Leave blessed of the Lord. In Jesus' name.